Next up, I talked to Caitlin Breedlove about a newly formed national coalition of lesbian, gay, bisexual, two-spirit, transgender, and gender nonconforming groups working for economic justice that has just announced a new agenda for the queer rights movement. These groups came together at the United States Social Forum in Detroit. Called the Roots Coalition, this group expands the current agenda beyond marriage equality and don't ask, don't tell, to include the needs of the most vulnerable communities and the structural causes of queer oppression. Caitlin Breedlove is a member of this new coalition, Roots, and she works with the LGBT grassroots group Southerners on New Ground, or SONG. I asked Caitlin how the Roots Coalition, a new progressive queer coalition, came about and what its agenda was.
So the Roots Coalition is a collection of 14 groups that are primarily lesbian, gay, bisexual, transgender, folks of color, working class people, and immigrant people. So we represent 14 different organizations. SONG is one of them. Other well-known groups are the Esperanza Center, Algo in Texas, Fierce, and the Audre Lorde Project in New York, Transgender Intersex Justice Project out in the Bay, where y'all are. And the majority of us have been meeting for about 3 years. We all had gotten some funding from the Australia Lesbian Foundation for Justice. And so we've been talking for some time about what it would look like to have an agenda for our communities that really centers the most marginalized communities within our communities. So we see that as folks of color, immigrants, working class people, rural people, definitely trans people and gender nonconforming people, First Nations people, folks with disabilities, a lot of the folks that have been left out, Lisa, of a mainstream LGBT agenda. We definitely don't see ourselves as the only groups that are representing these communities that we're talking about, but we do think that the time has come nationally for a critical mass of groups that represent our kind of communities to put out another agenda. So when you say that coming out of the social forum, we're presenting a new agenda, I think the way we see that as it's an entry point and an invitation for other left forces that are from LGBTQ communities to think about how we frame our work and our organizing differently. So we're really interested in it being an entry point and a call to action for other folks who are interested in what kind of left LGBTQ agenda we could take on. So an example of that would be that in our work through the social forum and leading up and the bases in our organization, we've seen really clearly that there's some strong patterns around what is most important to our communities right now. And we see three really significant trends. One is that safety is a very big issue for our community. We hear a lot about discrimination, fear of violence, and realities of violence, of course, especially for gender nonconforming folks and folks of color, as well as women-bodied people. And then another thing that we hear really clearly is that employment and work are big obstacles. So that's discrimination in getting jobs, keeping jobs, as well as just a lack of jobs in general for folks in our community, and the kind of employment opportunities, especially for trans people and gender nonconforming people, are very, very limited. And then finally, wellness and health in general have been huge issues for the bases and constituencies of the majority of the groups that make up the coalition. So everything from how to access healthcare, to have healthcare that's applicable, to having control and self-determination over our own health and wellness, being able to take care of ourselves and each other and our families has been a big obstacle. So we would name those as really important issues and definitely as representing bases that are concerned about how we're actually going to shift that in our daily lives. So, you know, gay marriage, for example, we're not coming out with an opinion of gay marriage is meaningless or we disrespect people that's important to. What we're really saying is for the poorest, most marginalized people in our communities, gay marriage is not really the core issue. Those other three are much more significant. We want a call to action for other people in our communities that see that these are the kind of key issues they're talking about as well and are important as well, and that we really have, as we said in the resolution from the social forum, a crisis-level situation with all three of these issues.
But it does say in the statement to abolish the state privileging of marriage or certain kinds of heteronormative families, kinships, and communities.
It's not so much about, oh, we're going to spend our time defensively attacking sort of groups that are working on marriage, but rather we're saying that what privileges the institution of marriage as important is really not the kind of political platform we're trying to move forward, right? That it's not about disrespecting what kind of spiritual or emotional bonds folks have, but rather widening the scope of what that means so that all families, all kinship networks, all the ways that we're connected in a lot of glorious traditions, right, in LGBTQ communities are honored and seen as important. And as opposed, it's a politic of widening rather than narrowing sort of what's seen as important, whereas a single-issue marriage agenda, we would say, is fairly assimilationist, right, that in order to have dignity and value as well as rights, we need to become like straight people or replicate that. And we're saying, no, no, no. People should be able to choose from a wide variety of ways that we're connected and build family, and at the same time being able to live liberated lives in terms of our bodies, our work life, and our entire communities.
I hear what you're saying. On the other hand, when people are spending $43 million to defeat Prop 8, when there's already domestic partners benefits in California, it's impossible to have a pluralistic focus if one of the issues is getting $43 million and most of the funding. When you talk about pluralism, I'm wondering how is that defined? How does that work out? Because we can't just continue with the same agenda and have room for this agenda as well.
I think it's more about creating a politics of we're interested in how do we build organizing. I feel like, for example, and I can only speak for myself, but we spend a lot of time farther on the left in LGBTQ communities sort of attacking the organizations that are leading marriage fights. And I don't necessarily disagree with that or think it's not important. But I do think that if we reached a point where we're like, we think we can do base building better, we think we can set national agendas better, that what we need to do is proactively set those agendas and then say, are you going to come with us or not? You know, especially when, frankly, a lot of the mainstream LGBT movement are at some legislative dead ends. Not across the board, but even within their own agenda. So I think that it's not so much a difference of opinion that we need to be moving into a different agenda, but rather that we feel that our approach has become somewhat limited in terms of an approach of only responding to them, because some of those institutions may or may not move. But what we can move is like, well, here's a different kind of national agenda, and how are we proactively building in that way, which I think is a similar politic and struggle we're having on the left in terms of the social forum, right? The social forum is a self-organized process, but a lot of our communities are still saying, why didn't the forum do more of this? Why didn't it do more of that? The answer is really because in a lot of cases we didn't build that, right? So we're trying to even figure out how do we create self-governance on the left or how do we set national agendas, and we're still having a hard time doing self-governance at a gathering of 18,000 people, which would be a very small town, right? If that was one part of the United States, like when we think about sort of where we are in terms of really being able to build other work and other economies. So I agree with you. I think it's important to continue to be critical of the marriage agenda and say that's not where our money needs to be going. It shouldn't be our focus. But at the same time, we have to create some kind of alternative agenda to really put out, you know, for several years, then, well, what is a different agenda look like?
So maybe you could talk a little bit about what this different agenda is, because I'm reading here it talks a lot about safe self-determination and to hold ourselves accountable for resolving all forms of violence enacted within our community, as well as violence, state-sponsored violence against our community. So those are some of them. Maybe you could talk a little bit about, first of all, what that means and how it came about that those were the most important issues. And then how will this goal, this proclamation, be enacted? Because we do a lot of talking at the social forum and have great ideas, but how does it become enacted?
I think those are really great questions. We're trying to bring a particular kind of politics that says this work is evolving, you know, unlike sort of some mainstream organizations that would say, oh, yeah, we have it all figured out, you know. I mean, this is definitely a organizations and coalition in process. Having said that, I think that a couple things have become really clear. So one thing that was really clear at the forum and at that gathering, and to give you a sense of sort of the scale, the process of people's movement assemblies is basically a process that listens to communities and says, what are the key issues? What are strategies? for working on that, and what's your resolution? Where do we need to go to shift the reality of this front of the struggle? So what happened in the queer and trans people's movement assembly was that a lot of other information from the individual groups came into that. So using song as an example, we did a people's movement assembly with 127 southern trans and gender nonconforming people asking those questions. What are the key issues to you? And where should we go from here? And then that information fed into the national. So there were several other groups doing that. So overall, there's more than 500 people, many of whom represent bases, that came into creating this document. So that having been said, one of the things that was really clear from a lot of the data that we gathered is that there's a really important tension around sort of folks wanting to see government systems be held accountable as they are and wanting to create our own systems. So that tension, or rather the need for both, became apparent in things around employment, because we heard people say, we want to build our own economies, our own small businesses, our own work, and at the same time, we want the government to be held accountable for the kind of discrimination we're experiencing in the workplace, lack of jobs in general, and, you know, how we're adversely affected by the recession and unemployment. You know, many folks know that gender nonconforming people and trans people are often double in the likelihood that they will be unemployed beyond the national average. So we see that a lot of our communities are hurting in a really particularly deep way during the recession. So that would be an example of the need to have both. And I think questions of housing, same thing. There was an interest in how do we create our own co-oping and look at global models around that, around housing. How are we taking over abandoned buildings and fighting back on gentrification? And at the same time, how are we able to push the state around HUD? How are we able to push the state around not just public housing, but housing in general? So I think that's an interesting tension. And the resolution, which is rather short, really works to reflect that, right? It works to reflect a lot of information in a one-page document. So in terms of where it sets an agenda, I think that the first step is really doing that deep kind of listening, which has not always been done when strategies have been set by mainstream LGBTQ movements. I think in general it hasn't been. To be frank, I think the decision makers have tended to be very much focused on white gay men, majority of whom run really large institutions and spaces, and then are deciding agendas for a lot of people. So in trying to do it differently, of course, the process looks messier because there's a lot more voices involved. And like any other hearty coalition, I think there's different strengths and strategies within the groups. So I think where we are now is really asking, one, how would a campaign look different, and what would it be? So a couple of the ideas that came up during the actual queer and trans PMA nationally would be, could we focus in on something like the Real ID Act as a way of thinking about what does it look like to draw attention to identity policing, period, that affects a wide sector of our communities, right? So that would affect gender nonconforming people and undocumented people and folks who are both. That would affect people with disabilities in a particular way. That we're really framing and thinking about how we frame issues differently, and I think that's a learning curve for a lot of us.
And the Real ID Act, would you is
sure.
The, want to explain what that is?
Sure. So the Real ID Act would be just one example of the kind of policy work that we wouldn't necessarily be thinking about strictly as policy. It would be a tactic to have a wider conversation. So what Real ID Act is it's an act that basically it would create a national database and system where folks are having all of their documents centralized, as well as your medical history. So things could be available such as how many abortions you had, or if you've been in prison, for how long, what for, your documentation status, your birth gender, et cetera. So this actually was a bill that was passed, but there have been several states that have been kind of pushing back against it and have passed resolutions against it. So I use that more as an open example of the kind of things we're thinking about. Where are the places where we could push we could have a large strategy with many different tactics? So by that I mean we could be pushing around policy. At the same time, we could be pushing around direct action. We could be doing public education. media shift, like looking at different patterns in history of when identity policing has been big. For example, passbooks in South Africa, identification in pre-Nazi Germany. There's some pretty significant trends connecting identity policing and furthering of fascism. So those kinds of questions, I use that as an example of, you know, the kind of work that we're thinking about, because we really want to think differently about how campaigns are run. Because what we're hearing really clearly from our bases is that single issue policy change is not going to be what people are going to be able to get behind and get their bases and communities behind in their organizations. So I think that it's thinking about what kind of work can we be doing that's moving things differently. And that might mean that we're moving work on a variety of fronts. And actually, the organizations represented in the coalition are already doing that work in different ways. So there's a lot of organizations working on base building and political education, like SONG, for example, in the South. We're doing a lot of, we've spent the past couple of years training up members in organizing and working with them, supporting campaigns on the ground that they are doing. There's also groups that have been working on different legislation stuff. For example, FIERCE has been holding a place with the Rights of City Alliance, and they've been fighting around anti-gentrification, right? Queers for Economic Justice has been fighting anti-LGBTQ discrimination in shelters in New York City, right? So you have a wide variety of things that groups have already been working on. And so we're actually at the point now where we haven't picked a campaign, but we're like coming out of the social forum saying, okay, what is the next step? And where is that entry point? And I think to me, Lisa, that's a more, it's really a more organic part of a process, whereas what we've seen a lot of is that decisions happened very quickly and they were sort of out of our hands in a lot of ways, you know? So that's sort of a sense of where we are at the moment in the process.
You came out with, out of the social forum, 5 points, principles of safe self-determination, right?
Mm-hmm.
So maybe you could explain, these are like really broad principles, I guess, that came out of what you're saying were these people putting in what it is they were interested in voting on. And what will happen with these principles? How does they become enacted into specifics?
What are the next steps? I think is really very much up to us in terms of us being the wider community of folks that identify on the left as LGBTQ. I mean, the real purpose of this part of the forum was not to get all the way to setting new campaign directions, but rather to set a direction within our communities, within LGBTQ communities, as well as within the left in general. And what we're talking about when we're talking about a call to action is that there's a great need for leadership, creativity, and ingenuity in how those particular 5 points are carried out, right? I think what we're saying is that we are very clear that a critical mass of us feels that those 5 things are the right direction to work in, right? And so we're asking other folks who also believe not only in those 5 values, but who really believe in the leadership of folks directly affected to be open to taking that kind of leadership. And so this kind of brings up some of the points that we talked about earlier, Lisa, before we had this conversation, which is thinking about multiracial relationship building as well and what the work is. You know, I think there's many of us who are white LGBTQ people that politically believe, okay, well, we really want to align ourselves with the leadership of LGBTQ people of color, of trans people. And I think what we have to say about that right now is that, you know, this isn't the perfect coalition or the perfect group, but it is an opportunity, right, for us to say, how do we enter into that work, that it really needs to be figured out together. And I think it's going to take way more than one campaign or one coalition or any one group at all to be able to say, okay, so given that that's the general direction we need to move in, how are we really rolling up our sleeves and ready to work on creating that agenda? Because there's really no one that's going to come in and do that for us. I think that was one of the big lessons of the forum for me personally, was this sort of subconscious sense like there's some other big leadership in the left that we don't know about, and they're going to come in and fix things, and they know a lot more than us. And I think that's not going to happen, and it's clearly not present. What's going to happen, I think, is that we're going to have to start to take ourselves a little bit more seriously in terms of movement building and say, okay, so this is sort of a mandate. I think that's the word I would use, that this is a mandate from, not from everyone, but for these communities who are directly affected. And the question is, do people doing organizing around the country want to answer that mandate and say, yes, we see this as viable critical mass of leadership, and we also want to engage in that agenda, and then we have to build out from there. So for the Roots Coalition, for our part, we will be picking a campaign direction in the next few weeks by the end of the summer, and we will be following that mandate because we see, even though we convene that conversation, we're only part of the voices. So we say, yes, we want to follow that mandate, and we want to follow the mandate of the social forum in general, and so we are going to craft work that comes out of that. And I think the call to action is really about, do other people want to engage in that work through the coalition itself or through other work? But that it's sort of the People's Movement Assembly process is trying to set a different way of doing things, I think, at this particular moment for the left, that's saying, okay, can we really then all agree that we're going to focus our work in that way? And there's a great need for many different strategies and tactics within that.
I'm really looking forward to this. Do you have a timeline of when you all are going to be, you say you're going to have an agenda out by the end of the summer, and then after that, what's the timeline?
Absolutely. So we're going to be picking a real sort of campaign / front of struggle by the end of the summer, and then by early fall, we'll have clarified entry points for people all over the country who want to be engaged, because it'll be national in scale. So there will be, we'll be figuring out what kind of entry points and opportunities that there are for people to enter by then. So we're very excited about it, too, and thank you so much for the time, Lisa.
Thank you, Caitlin Breedlove, for talking with us today, and I really hope this Roots Coalition does become more than just something on paper, and because we really have both not only the right to fight, but the mainstream gay movement, and then the left, which is not really helping to promote a radical queer's agenda.
And you can find out more information at southernersonnewground.org, as well as Googling the AstreaFoundation.org, and you can Google Astrea Foundation as well.
And Astrea, again, is spelled A-S-T-R-A-E-A, which is...
That's right. Mm-hmm.
All right. Thank you very much for joining us today.
Thank you so much, Lisa.